Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm your host, Ashton, and today's show is going to be a little different. I am by myself tonight. I don't have a special guest. Couldn't get one booked on short notice, or we had somebody lined up and they backed out, for personal reasons. So it's just me tonight. I couldn't get somebody booked on short notice, but it's going to be fun. We're going to go old school tonight on the sports page. If you've listened to us before, back on our JoCo radio days or early days on Next Gen Media, when we were more of a radio show format as opposed to podcasts like we've been lately, we're going to kind of go back to that. Our last few episodes have been more talking about one thing and having one subject in podcast format, you know, Bishop Sycamore, fantasy football draft night. But tonight we're just going to talk about what's going on, updating you in the world of sports, pretty much what we used to do back in the day of the sports page, because when we were on JoCo, it wasn't a sports station. We were the sports show, so that's why we called ourselves the sports page. So we're getting into that time period, that time of the year that I really love. There's going to be a lot going on, just in general life and sports. We're getting into the holidays, really what I consider the holidays, starting with Halloween. Once you get into October, the weather's changing. Everyone's decorating for Halloween. Once you're done with Halloween, people jump right into Thanksgiving. Some people go ahead and skip Thanksgiving. You know, you have the debate, when should you put up your Christmas lights? Should you wait till the day after Thanksgiving? There is a guy in our neighborhood that this past year, the day after Halloween, he was putting up Christmas lights, which is a little too soon for me. I typically don't succumb to peer pressure or judgment by other people, but I will not put up Christmas lights until at least the weekend of Thanksgiving. My wife likes to put up Christmas decorations early, which I let her do inside the house. It's inside, who cares? But on her side of the family, we have Thanksgiving, the family Thanksgiving dinner, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Just, you know, you really have no excuse to get out of it because we're doing it before. Everybody's going to come. Nobody's going to miss because nobody should have plans then. So really for her, that Saturday before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving's over after that. So she's ready for Christmas. So I'll get the Christmas tree down and we'll do interior Christmas lights or Christmas decorations. But I tell her, not until after Thanksgiving will we put the Christmas lights up. So you have all that going on. The holidays is a great, great time of year. A lot happening, really busy. But for sports, it's just so great too. Going into October and even into November, you have footballs really reaching its stride. You figure out what teams are, what teams aren't. You really get the storylines going. College football's right there with it. Baseball's entering into the playoffs and being played out through October into the World Series. Hockey and NBA are starting, as well as college basketball. There's just a lot sports-wise going on. And I think we're going to have a lot of episodes like this where it's just talking about what's going on. We're not going to have one specific subject. We're just going to update what's going on because there's so much content. It's easy to fill up time talking about whatever's going on, the big stories going on, the crazy things. And right now, if you listen last week, we covered Chris Robb Jr. was on Pro Football Player, I almost called him a Hall of Famer, maybe one day, but Pro Football Player Chris Robb Jr. was on with us, and we just recapped the Cowboys-Buccaneers game, Thursday night football game, and we were kind of going through our predictions of the season and what we think is going to happen. So coming up, after week one, I mean, we all know we're not going to go over too much. Cowboys nearly beat the Buccaneers, which we all know that I think they should have if, you know, there was a few mistakes there. But, man, what happened in Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers, come on. As a Cowboys fan, I typically don't like Aaron Rodgers, as I shouldn't. Not only because Packers are a rival to the Cowboys, but just also is the playoffs, what Aaron Rodgers has done to the Cowboys in the playoffs. But I have Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy football team, and he really just, he scored for my, I guess it depends what kind of scoring league you're in, but in my league, he scored 1.3 points. That's ridiculous. I could have played just about 80. I haven't gone over throughout the NFL who scored what, but I feel like I could have just grabbed any scrub off the bench or off the waiver wire and gotten some points. Heck, I have Trevor Lawrence on my bench. He scored, I think, 11 points. But alarm bells in Green Bay, maybe? I don't know. It's hard to judge after 1 week, especially when you start getting to some of these older quarterbacks, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady's, Drew Brees's, when you go to them and say, oh, that's it, they're done. You know, they're old, it finally happened. And then later on, they end up coming back. And, you know, I thought that way about Tom Brady last year. He just had some bad games. And even in the playoffs, he was bailed out some by his defense. And I thought this is it for him. He's finally done. But he proves us wrong again. But coming into week two, I mean, oh gosh, the Cowboys have just, it's getting ridiculous. The amount of injuries, COVID situation with them. Just going down here, Chauncey Goldston, hamstring. DeMarcus Lawrence, he broke his foot. Those two are defensive ends. Add Randy Gregory, defensive end, out for COVID protocol. Donovan Wilson's out. Leon Lett, defensive coach Leon Lett, former Cowboys player, had a thigh, I think it was a thigh issue. It was carted off the practice field. It's getting pretty ridiculous. Of course, Michael Gallup was hurt during the Buccaneers game, which I'll go ahead and talk about our last episode. Being a podcast, this is recorded. At the time of recording, we didn't know what was happening with Michael Gallup. We were like, yeah, I think he was kind of hurt, and he just kind of did. I kid you not, as soon as we stopped recording that show, my phone went off about Michael Gallup getting hurt. So you may have been listening to that episode thinking, what do you mean you don't know what happened? He's hurt, obviously, but that news broke after the recorded show. See, back in the day, we did the show live. Now it's pre-recorded and posted, so y'all can get the show on Saturdays, like we always promised. But with all this going on with the Cowboys, we posted up a poll on our Twitter page. If you don't follow us, go ahead and follow us at Sports Page Radio on Twitter. That's also our tag on Facebook if you want to follow us. But we posted a poll on Twitter. After the crazy week of injuries, do you think the Cowboys are cursed? And this is something that, maybe I follow the Cowboys a lot. I mean, I obviously follow the Cowboys a lot closer than I do other teams. But it just seems with the Cowboys, it's always something else. The way they lose, the way they come back. I legitimately thought, going into the first game, I knew they weren't favored. I wasn't expecting them to win. But I thought it would be such a Cowboys thing to do to win, get our hopes up, and then come back against the Chargers and lose or something like that. And the way the Cowboys break your heart, it's Boston Red Sox-esque, I guess. And you say, well, why are they cursed? Well, there's no story, but there kind of is. I mean, I'm not saying I believe in any of this, but supposedly Jerry Jones did pray that just win that one more Super Bowl after Jimmy Johnson left with Barry Switzer, win one more Super Bowl, never asked for anything. And he won that Super Bowl, and it just seems that they've been so, not even bad, so bad since. They've had some bad years, but the amount of talent they've had, that they've rolled through the doors for the Cowboys, some years you just wonder. And then it's just been crazy with some of these injuries, with Zach Martin, COVID protocol last week, now Randy Gregory. But I wanted my listeners to do this speaking for this poll, which I'm leaving this poll open. It's still open for two more days. Right now, it's 62% no, 38% yes. Feel that the Cowboys are not cursed right now. That's I don't know if that's mostly Cowboys fans or not, but as of right now, the Sports Page Radio listeners do not feel that the Cowboys are cursed. I'm actually going to go ahead and pin that to our profile, so it's up at the top. So yeah, go to our Twitter page at Sports Radio. Tell us what you think. Go ahead and comment on there too, and tell us why you think or don't think the Cowboys may or may not be cursed. If you believe in that sort of thing, if you believe in the curse of the Great Bambino with the Red Sox, or the curse of the Billy Goat with the Cubs, maybe this might be a year they can break that curse. So yeah, all the injuries, it's the one good thing you can think right now. Outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, most of these injuries aren't serious. They're all week to week. Michael Gallup is going to be a few weeks. But luckily, Cowboys have one of the best receiving cores in the league. Dak's doing good. The offensive line did okay without Zach Martin. Now they're dealing with more injuries and shifting people around. Hopefully they can keep it up. Zeke, you know, they didn't run it with him a lot, and you knew the front seven for the Buccaneers defense was going to hold Zeke for the most part, but he did pretty good picking up blocks for Dak. So who knows what he's going to be. Maybe they can get him more involved this week. I would like to see him more involved in the passing game. I realized that wasn't going to be the case last week because they had to keep him back blocking. But we'll see. The saving grace for this team, as I was saying, is the division they play in. It's just a horrible division. If Dak stays healthy and they can keep a sense of health through most of their players, the Cowboys should win this division. Am I wrong? We watched Thursday Night Football this week in Week 2. Washington beats the Giants 30-29. That's not really the outcome I wanted, because I thought Washington might be the team that to beat the Cowboys in the division if there was going to be another team. Even with Fitzpatrick as a quarterback who's hurt now, it's Heinke. Sorry, it's hard to pronounce his name sometimes. I was hoping the Giants would get that win and at least put Washington to 0-2, because I don't think the Giants are going to do anything. They can go ahead and get that win. But overall, it wasn't a terrible game. I wasn't expecting that much scoring, especially with the Jason Garrett offense on the Giants. And Daniel Jones, is he like a little Eli or a young Eli? He's such a boring player, it seems like. And out of nowhere, his running ability. I mean, he doesn't run a whole lot. But we all know last year, his famous, I think it was an 80-yard run, and he just wide open, no one to beat. There's no one left to beat, and he trips and is down. And then last night, the touchdown didn't stand. It was called back for a holding penalty, but he ran about 30 or 40 yards for a touchdown before the penalty brought it back. So other than that, Daniel Jones is a pretty boring quarterback, but he didn't play bad. So, yeah, of course, yeah, like I said, Washington wins that one 30-29. Looking forward to week two. Of course, we have Chargers and the Cowboys. Cowboys going to Los Angeles. And the Chargers are favored in that game by three. Still, they were favored by three before all this was happening. But as of now, they're still favored by three. Hopefully, the defense can I don't even want to say contain. When I say it, it's like, yeah, I know they can't contain it, but just bend, don't break type defense. Just keep it close enough where Dak can win it for you. You know, I can't expect the Cowboys to blow them out. I think it is going to be a shootout, especially in general. The Cowboys defense has a lot of holes, and especially now that Lawrence is out for a while, Gregory's out. It's gonna be an interesting game. Other games that we can look forward to: Bills Dolphins. I think that'll be a pretty good game. The Bills lost in Week One to the Steelers, and they were up by 10 at halftime. And I thought they were gonna pull that one out, but it was just kind of a rocky game in the second half. Raiders Steelers. I think that's going to be a good game. Man, if you watch that Monday Night Football game, the Raiders and Ravens back and forth. I watched most of it, and I think midway through the fourth quarter, I turned it on. I didn't have a whole lot of interest in it. It was a good game, a lot of back and forth. It started out ugly, especially for the Raiders. But I mean, Derek Carr had a slow start, but ended up finishing pretty strong. And I wish I would have kept watching it, just because I like to see those crazy, I don't even know if we want to call it historic. It was overtime where they thought they win, they didn't win, then they ended up winning. But it's one of those things, you know, the fear of missing out, FOMO, that you're like, man, I guarantee you now, staying up to watch Monday Night Football games, I'm going to, which in general, why are they so late? I don't get it. It's like 10 o'clock, like 9:30, 10 o'clock before, like when you go into halftime, central time. That's where we are in Texas, in the Dallas Fort Worth area. Not that that's crazy late for me, but I have kids that go to bed at 8:00. And I'm like, the game's just starting when it's bedtime. And you can only imagine on the East Coast. Baltimore was in that game. Baltimore's fans, it's going nearly to midnight watching that game. But I think for the rest of the year, especially when there's a blowout happening, that like, man, I don't want to turn it off. I'm gonna miss something crazy happening, and I'm just gonna end up keeping myself up late for games. And don't get on my Twitter and Facebook and all my other social media platforms and call me soft, because in general, I'm awake. I could watch the games without staying up later, but most of my bedtime routine, once we go to bed, we're watching The Office, and we'll just sit and watch a few episodes of that. So I say stay up late, because I'm going to watch the end of a football game. I'm not going to sleep right then. You know, I'm focused. I'm wired on the game. I'm going to go back and watch three or four episodes of The Office before I go to sleep. So, no, I don't think 10 or 11 o'clock in general is too late to stay up. But I wake up at 4:30. I'm part of the 4:30 club, so sue me. But, yeah, and this shouldn't be on my games to watch, but I have Lions and Packers. Only because we're going to see what the Packers really are. Or maybe not even really are. Just see, are they really bad? Or are they going to come out and take care of business against the Lions? Jared Goff now in the Lions. That's a step down. I don't want to take it too early and say that, yeah, the Packers are in trouble. I think they are going to struggle against the Lions. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. I think he figures some things out. It's a wake-up call. But, man, that NFC North division may be the worst in football. I thought NFC East was. NFC North might be. Because you have Lions. And again, they had Lions without Matthew Stafford. I knew Matthew Stafford was good. He always put up a lot of stats when he was healthy. But you really didn't get to see a lot of him. It was, if you played the Cowboys, we would see him for the Cowboys, which he always made the Cowboys work for it. In fact, the only two times I can remember them playing, outside of the playoffs, I know the Cowboys beat him in the playoffs a few years back, but the regular season, I know at least the last one the Cowboys lost. It was that goal line fake spike deal with when Matthew Stafford just jumped over and scored a touchdown to beat the Cowboys. But other than Thanksgiving, the Lions don't play on a lot of primetime games. They may get one because I think the league is contractually obligated to give every team a primetime game. I may be wrong on that. But watching Matthew Stafford in primetime it was fun to watch him with a good team. But now the Lions, you downgraded Jared Goff. The Vikings weren't doing any good. The Bears, the Bears might be an okay team once you get, you know, bench Andy Dalton. We'll see how that works out. But man, this should be an easy division for the Packers to win. I think they regroup and rebound, and I think they'll be all right. Aaron Rodgers will be in his MVP primetime form later on in the year. At least I hope so. Again, I have him on my fantasy team. But I don't know. It's hard to tell. I think it might have been a big FU from Aaron Rodgers to the Green Bay organization, because, you know, he doesn't really want to be there. He's only there because he has to pay money back if he doesn't go back. So other than that, those are the games I'm watching here in week two that could change over. You know, the Patriots on there playing the Jets. That might have some intrigue to it for the future. Two rookie quarterbacks that, if things pan out, they could be going head-to-head in that division for the next 10, 15 years. But right now, I'm not there yet. I might keep up with it a little bit just for that reason. And if I have nothing better to do, and that happens to be one of the games on in this market, I might watch it. But I don't have any fantasy players on either the Patriots or Jets, so we'll have to see how that turns out. So switching over, let's talk the NBA a little bit. Or not even really the NBA, just more the Clippers. So this kind of came out of nowhere. At least for me, maybe in the LA area, if you're a Clippers fan, you knew it was coming. But I had no idea that the Clippers were looking for a new arena or looking to build a new arena. And I thought they had just unveiled plans. I read an article saying they broke ground on their new arena. But this is going to be a new $1.8 billion arena. Billion with a B. I mean, the Cowboys, AT&T Stadium, when they built it, was, I think, $1.5 billion for football stadium. So they're building this in Inglewood, California, and they already have a name for it, Intuit Dome. Which, a little interesting, call it a Dome, being a basketball arena. But clicking on here, there are a couple of quotes calling it it's going to be the basketball mecca. And looking at the pictures, they may be right. This is a pretty badass looking arena. Excuse me. Assuming this is what it's going to look like when finished. I know Texas Rangers fans out there, the stadium once built didn't quite look like what it did in the renderings. The interior, yes, the inside of the stadium is beautiful, but the outside kind of looks like it's got a tin roof to me. But going back to this Intuit Dome, the Clippers' new $1.8 $1 billion arena. It's set to open in 2024, so we still have a couple of years. 18,000 seat arena, which is pretty big for an NBA arena, but it kind of looks like it's got some features to match SoFi Stadium, which I believe is also in Inglewood, California. I may be wrong on that. Y'all can fact check me and let me know. Just look. You can search for me on any social media platform. Just look up at Ashton Nix, and that's where you can send all your trash mail. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, what you hate about me. I love haters. But looking at this, I mean, they're calling it intimate, intense, innovative. And it looks really cool. It kind of looks like the logo from the top, from the renderings. It's blue. It says Intuit Dome. It almost looks like an Intel logo. Because, of course, the owner is the ex-Microsoft CEO. But an arena like this for the Clippers, I mean, Staples Center is kind of one of those arenas that you compare. I know I'm going to get hated on for this. Sort of like Madison Square Gardens. I know it's not the same. It's definitely not as old. It doesn't have the history in it. But the Lakers playing in it, winning all the championships and playoffs, and two NBA teams playing in it. It's one of the arenas. It's one of those where the Knicks, at least I don't think they have any plans to ever build a new arena, because Madison Square Gardens is the basketball mecca, at least of now. And you know, you have the Big East tournament in every year. You have a lot of things going on in it. The St. John's plays in it, and that's why I think maybe because they share a stadium with an arena with the Lakers, Staples Center, that they want to get out. It's just weird. You think you're going to get this announcement from the Lakers that they're building this amazing stadium. You had the Cowboys building their stadium. Although the Cowboys haven't won anything for 20-something years, it's still the Cowboys. Even when the Rams built, or even when they built SoFi Stadium, it was more like a Rams thing, although the Chargers came later. But the Chargers kind of there with the Clippers. You know, they never won a championship. They've had some good years. Of course, the Clippers have been in LA for a long time. The Chargers, yeah, not so much. But it was kind of out of left field, I think. And again, maybe it's just because it's the Clippers. It's not big news, at least, especially in the off season. And maybe this buzz has been going around at least LA, or at least tight-knit circles in the NBA media. But I thought it was pretty interesting. I really like the arena. I think this is the start of a new trend, or maybe not the start. There's a couple of other arenas that kind of look like this. You're going away from the boxy arenas. You know, I know American Airlines is a little different. They shape it. It's almost shaped like DFW Airport, different terminals, American Airlines terminals at DFW Airport, how that's done. And, you know, since Cowboy Stadium opened, all the new NFL stadiums have been going different. And, you know, we went for a long time with those wide open, no roof, giant stadiums like the Eagles have, the Browns have. It's a changing in the stadiums. And I think arenas are going that way. They're just not going to be blending in with downtown areas anymore. They're gonna be different, and you're gonna have more events and things, and that's what people are gonna be drawn to. You're not going to want to make a boring looking stadium. To what I kind of compare it to, Lucas Oil Stadium, or maybe it's called Lucas Oil Field, that was built right before the Cowboys built their stadium. And nothing against Lucas Oil Stadium. I get that it's the style for the area. I get what they're doing with it, but it looks pretty basic and just boxy and square. And it really doesn't even look like them that much like an NFL stadium with all the brick. But I think if it would have been built 5 years later, they would have gone a different way with it, made it look more modern or futuristic, like a lot of more of these stadiums are doing. But of course, they hold all kinds of events there. Just had the Final Four there. Actually, I think they had the just about all the tournament in Indianapolis and had a lot of stuff there, a lot of the games there in the Final Four. Of course, they have the NFL Combine there. But man, this is a really cool looking stadium, and like I said, it's gonna start a new trend. And I know the Mavericks were already looking at building a new arena. Mark Cuban kind of talked about it, more like a 10 to 15 year plan. I like American Airlines Center. I like it when teams stay in stadiums with history. Like, I love that. I'm not a New York Knicks fan, but I like how they have stayed in Madison Square Gardens for so long. I like events happening at Cowboy Stadium to kind of make it the mecca of football, with all college football being played there, high school state championships being played there, and playoffs. And unfortunately, the Cowboys haven't had a lot of success in it. They've won some crazy games, and they've won a couple of playoff games there. But it's not quite to that level. And I mean, not quite to that level. It's not going to be the level of Madison Square Gardens for maybe another 30 years if it gets there, with all the events happening. I think it's going to take the Cowboys playing some NFC Championships games there and winning a lot more, and then having more college football games there, as well as other events. But that's why, like, the Clippers were in kind of an iconic arena in Staples Center, right? I mean, I don't even think of Staples Center as its Staples. The office store Staples is a sponsor there. I just think Staples. I don't think the store every time I hear it. It's just an iconic name. But it's hard, I guess, being the second team in a big metropolitan area. I've always wanted the DFW area to have another team, a second team in a certain sport. Just to have that intrigue. But so I don't know how it is being the little brother of the Lakers, but I guess this kind of puts them above in the stadium category. Our arena's cooler, but they have to show it on the court and make it. They've been to one conference finals in their history, and it was just last year. And it's because the Mavericks choked in the first round and should have beat them. So I ho hopefully for them, I'm not a, again, I'm not a Clippers fan. So hopefully for them, it works out that way, that this is just the start of this. But with how things are ending, going, I think they're kind of to the end of their Kawhi Leonard, Paul George run. Or they're coming up at the end pretty quick. If they don't get a championship in soon, I'm afraid they're going to go back to the lottery bottom feeder. Although they did have a good transition, and from the Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan era. Although they weren't having lots of success, but they were making the playoffs every year. The transition from that to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they didn't have a long rebuilding period. It was more just retooling. So we'll see how it can go. It can work out with them, if because from the Rangers' standpoint, going into a new stadium. Well, I guess it was last year, COVID year, but they're on pace to finish one of the worst records in their history. And trust me, fans are not happy about getting a new stadium to have such a horrible team. And with Intuit Dome opening in 2024, the Clippers are going to be a completely different team by then. Now, maybe they transition into something good and they're going to be competing, but I don't think Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be on that team in 2024. I may be wrong. I know they're already having issues there. So, you know, take it from somebody, from a fan who knows. You need to have, you know, that stadium only lasts so long. I think that stadium will sit well with the fans for the first year if you don't have a contending team, because the Rangers just came off a decade long having contenders from 2010-2011 World Series, winning, making the playoffs in 2012, you know, winning their division in 2015-2016, and then they competed kind of a little bit for a couple years after that, and then now it's just rebuilding, and you know, at minimum 3 or 4 years before they could be contending if they develop right and make the right moves. So again, you know, I didn't want to make this about the Rangers. We will have a baseball episode coming up here pretty soon with the playoffs coming up. We have a lot of cool stuff coming. So be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Sports Page Radio, and go ahead and vote on that poll. The Cowboys cursed. Let us know.